This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, and apparently it's going to be a wild Tuesday night. So buckle up and get ready. And here's what you have to be in store for tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. First off, we have to honor somebody. We lost another hero. We'll get to that in just a moment. Kristi Noem, our DHS secretary, was rushed to the hospital about 5 minutes before the show started. And now we have an update on that. I'll get to that also in just a moment. Then here's your warning right off the bat. There's going to be some Israel-Iran talk, and it's going to more focus on America, the split in Trump's government with the base. We're going to focus more on that aspect of it. I'm aware that missiles are currently raining down on Tel Aviv and things like that. I'm aware of what Iran said, which I will update you all on. But yes, there's going to be some Iran-Israel talk in the first hour, and I don't know if we'll come back to that. Like I have told you before, I am not wearing a flak jacket in the middle of Tel Aviv. I am not a war correspondent and don't want to be. I am going to sift through information as it comes in, and I can't do that live on the air. So there is your warning. There'll be some talk in the first hour, and then we'll moving on to the things I'm much more passionate about, and that would be things right here at home before we get into any of that. Longtime listeners of the show will know this is something we believe in very deeply here. Honoring the fallen, honoring people who serve this country and give their lives for this country is a big deal to us. It always has been. It always will be. Medal of Honor Monday, all that. But those who die during training, military training, or I should include non-combat things. It has always bothered me that that person rarely gets any honors nationally. You honor the guy who grabs his rifle and charges a machine gun nest. That guy gets honored. But the guy who was serving in a combat zone, who his truck drove off a bridge and he ended up drowning in a river, he gave his life to his country too. People who die during training, military training is dangerous. It can kill you. Somebody listening to the sound of my voice right now has lost somebody in military training. And you don't get headlines for it. You don't get a national celebration of it. Chief Warrant Officer 2 Dustin K. Wright. He was with the 101st Combat Aviation Brigade, U.S. Army. He lost his life. Pilot, helicopter pilot, Apache, I believe. But chopper went down, training mission, he is gone. Is he less heroic than the guy who charged the machine gun nest? He was willing to charge the same nest. But he's gone now because helicopters, let alone military ones, helicopters can be wonderful and they can be very, very dangerous things. And when helicopters, when something goes wrong on them and they fall out of the sky, they don't have the option of gliding to a highway somewhere and attempting to put her down. They tend to drop like stones. And if you're in one, that's all she wrote for you. And this hero deserves to be honored. And he most definitely deserves taps to be played in his honor.
How close do you...
Rest in peace, brother. All right. To the other thing that I need to get out of the way before we talk Israel-Iran, maybe, I bet you even heard about it during the commercial break right before the show came on. Kristi Noem, DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, was rushed to a hospital in D.C. We now have an update, allergic reaction. Okay, she's fine. There's nothing life-threatening. There was no assassination attempt, so don't panic. Kristi Noem is going to be just fine. All right? All right. Now let's discuss what's happening right now. For the latest, I say the latest, and this is going to be the last update you're going to get, like minute-by-minute update. I would say an hour ago, Iranian state media put out this statement, quote, "There is a surprise tonight that the world will remember for centuries." Between that ominous statement and the fact that we have American troops heading that way, Israel launching missions, as we speak, there are missiles raining down on Tel Aviv. When you combine all of these things, what it creates is panic and fear in the minds of people. Maybe you are experiencing this as we speak. Maybe you are half listening to the sound of my voice, or maybe you're listening with bated breath, dying for the latest updates. Is this World War III? Is everything coming to an end? What is going on? Let me first, before we dig into things, remind you again, and I'm probably going to remind you again tonight. In war, truth is the first casualty. That's a saying much older than you and I. In war, truth is the first casualty. It has been this way forever. It is this way now. And it will always be this way. There are different interests in different countries, multiple different interests in whatever country you're in, all competing to win the propaganda war, to win the hearts and minds. You should think this. You should say that. You should feel this. Blah, 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 blah. And so in the end, here's what happens is normal people, you end up watching the news, scrolling through social media, and every time you turn it on, oh my gosh, a missile just hit, that's a dead school kid, I don't understand, but calm down. There is always a new thing going on the planet, and Lord knows America is going to be involved in it every single time there is one. There's always a new video. Sometimes it's fake. Sometimes it's real. Sometimes it's old. Sometimes it's propaganda. There's always something you can doom scroll on and work yourself into a tizzy over, and you should not do that. Do not allow yourself, your happiness, your contentment to be robbed by things completely out of your control. If you spend the next 3, 4, 5 hours tonight before you go to bed consuming every bit of war video and war headlines you can possibly get, and then go lay down to sleep at night, and you stay there tossing and turning for another 2 or 3 hours because you can't get things off your mind, you screwed up. Don't do that. Put it down. Walk away from it if it's bothering you. There's always something new. And tomorrow, after we've had a chance to digest what is true, what is not, what was bunk information, what was accurate information, 24 hours from now, you and me, we will meet right here again to digest what happened 24 hours ago. We are not going to work ourselves up in a tizzy on everything happening right now. That said, it's very obvious that we are in, very in, and this is going to create some division. Let's discuss that division. Before we discuss that division, you know what you could do tonight instead of doom scrolling on social media? Do you want to go to bed with a smile on your face instead of going to bed miserable and stressed? Why don't you go grab all the family pictures in your home, the hard copy family pictures? Why don't you grab them, get them all stacked up in piles on the kitchen counter, on the dining room table? Why don't you go grab those home movies, those camcorder tapes? Watch them. Put them on in the background. Watch that old Family Vacation. when your dad was still there. Listen to his voice. Then when you're done with that, put that on the dining room table, on the counter. Then go to LegacyBox/Jesse and decide that you will keep those memories forever because you'll allow these Americans to digitize all of this for you in Tennessee. By hand, they will digitize your stuff and send you all that stuff back. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. Preserve it and pass it on. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an incredible Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. First, let's before we get to our domestic coalition and the divide between you and other people who are your allies, the divide inside of Trump's cabinet, let's get to this. Momentum is one of those things that's very difficult to quantify. Nobody in the history of the world has successfully come up with the ultimate formula on how to create it. But what many of us, what I'm sure what you can do is we recognize it when we see it, don't we? Have you ever watched a game where your team was winning, whatever kind of game it was, baseball, football, doesn't matter, basketball, your team is winning. You have the lead. If the game ended at right this moment, you're going to win. And yet, you know you're going to lose. You had a 20-point lead in basketball. And in the last 5 minutes, they've scored 15 points. It's down to five. And there's still 5 minutes left in the game. You're still ahead. You're 5 points ahead. You know you probably can win, but you're watching it and you know we've already lost. Why? Because you see momentum. You can see it. The United States of America, we are most definitely getting involved in the Israel-Iran war. Momentum says we're getting involved. You can sniff it. As soon as we started moving large quantities of equipment over to that area, that shows you this is where the momentum's going. And then you started to hear things from Donald Trump. We gave him 60 days. I tried to make a deal, tried to do this. Now we're getting statements like this from Donald Trump today. Quote, "We know exactly where the so-called supreme leader is hiding. He's an easy target, but is safe there. We are not going to take him out, at least not yet, but we don't want missiles shot at civilians or American soldiers. Our patience is wearing thin. Thank you for your attention to this matter." You know what the really important statement is there? What really important sentence? It's not the first or the last one. You know how we've been saying as a country, hey, this is between Israel and Iran, but don't touch our troops. Don't touch our troops. You've heard Rubio put out a statement saying that. Pete Hegseth put out a statement saying that. Trump basically said the same thing. Keep your hands off our troops. Keep your hands off our troops. Well, it looks like someone else got that special protection. So we don't want missiles shot at civilians or American troops. Well, what's that tell you? Donald Trump is no fool. Everyone with two eyes can see Iran does not have the advanced targeting capability. They don't have the intelligence capability of Israel or America. They don't have the ability to precisely target people, specific things. They can't do it. It would be more similar to, I realize it's slightly more accurate than this because they're missiles, but it would be more similar to the bombing from World War II, where you would fly overhead and yes, you have a target and yes, you can drop all these bombs, but wind and a variety of factors mean they're going to land all over the place. That's what Iran has. Yeah, they might have a bunch of missiles, but they can't really control anything. So what do? They just fire a bunch of missiles at Tel Aviv. Wherever they land, they land. What's going to happen? civilians are going to die. Like I said, right when the show was starting out, they'd landed like 20, 25 of them in Tel Aviv. I'm sure they got somebody. The American president flat out came out and said, any civilians, and it's on. We can come get you. We, the United States of America, we're going to be involved. We already are involved to some extent. There's no question. Israel doesn't take a step like they took without America's permission. And anyone telling you otherwise has no idea how foreign politics works. Israel believes they exist under the protection of America, that they are able to function surrounded by their enemies because of the constant threat that America will step in and help if they're attacked. But like any other relationship, this kind of relationship comes with strings, if you will. The strings are going to be, hey, you want Big Daddy's military? Then you need Big Daddy's permission before you go spouting off against somebody or something. Netanyahu never launches that strike the other night against Iran without Donald Trump's approval. Now I know what you're thinking. Donald Trump came out and said, we had nothing to do with this. Remember, Marco Rubio put out a statement that night and said, this had nothing to do with us. I think he even alluded to basically, we didn't even know. That's a complete lie. As I was pointing out earlier, don't get caught up in what anyone is saying, because I'm here to give it to you right between the eyes. America will lie a lot during this. Our military will lie. Our intelligence services will lie. Our media will lie. Donald Trump will lie. Marco Rubio will lie. Israel will lie during this. Netanyahu will lie. Their media will lie. Their intelligence service will lie. Iran will lie during this. Intelligence, lying. The Ayatollah, he'll lie. The military will lie. Because everybody lies during a war. The good guys, the bad guys, who you're rooting for, who you're rooting against, they all lie, and they all spend a great deal of time pointing out the lies of the other side. But here's what you need to know about every single war that's ever been fought. They are all lying at all times, and this is all geared at public opinion. Every leader, no matter what country he's in, if you're a supreme leader of Iran or president of the United States, every single one of them understands they only exist in their seat as long as the public approves of it. And so the ongoing propaganda war is aimed at you. Just accept that they're all lying. Now let's discuss the division in our party, our country, our coalition. Before we do that, let's cook some meat. Perfectly. Do you, I guess you probably do understand, but the level of satisfaction that comes when you pull a brisket off of the smoker and you start slicing it and your children are almost cutting their fingers because they've surrounded you like hungry lions to tear your brisket apart as you're slicing it off. You know how good that feels? I get that every time. Did you know that? I get that because I have an IQ sense. A wireless cooking thermometer. You leave it in the meat. Never take it out. Your phone tells you when the meat's done. It can handle up to 1,000 degrees. Don't worry, it's going to be just fine. You get to save 15% on one at checkout. ChefIQ.com, promo code Jesse. ChefIQ.com, promo code Jesse. Our coalition dividing. Next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, kind of a wild Tuesday, giving you about another 30 minutes of Israel-Iran talk at the max, and then we're moving off. I want to talk about things domestically. Now, let's talk about some of the divisions on our side over all this, because we are very clearly going to get involved in this whole thing. Let's focus on Trump's cabinet, shall we? A couple months ago. Wasn't long. I think this was March, if I remember right. I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. Tulsi Gabbard. Remember, Tulsi Gabbard is the Director of National Intelligence. You know what that means? Technically, Tulsi Gabbard is in charge of every American intelligence agency. She is in charge of it all. That's a big, big, big deal. There's no super secret mission out there that she is not aware of. There's no intelligence that's kept from her. That's a lie, but at least there shouldn't be intelligence that's kept from her. Tulsi Gabbard sat in front of Congress, and she said this.
The IC continues to assess that Iran is not building a nuclear weapon, and Supreme Leader Khamenei has not authorized the nuclear weapons program that he suspended in 2003. The IC continues to monitor closely if Tehran decides to reauthorize its nuclear weapons program.
Okay. Tulsi Gabbard, this is, I think it was last week she put this out. Came out, put out an internet video. It was long, saying this.
I recently visited Hiroshima in Japan and stood at the epicenter of a city that remains scarred by the unimaginable horror caused by a single nuclear bomb dropped in 1945, 80 years ago. Because as we stand here today, closer to the brink of nuclear annihilation than ever before, political elite and warmongers are carelessly fomenting fear and tensions between nuclear powers. Perhaps it's because they are confident that they will have access to nuclear shelters for themselves and for their families.
Okay, she goes on. Look, it's a 3-minute long video. I'm not going to play the whole thing. Tulsi Gabbard obviously feels very strongly against getting involved in any other wars. She doesn't believe Iran's creating a nuclear weapon. Remember, her role in the Trump government, DNI. She's not some paper pusher in the basement. It's a big deal. Well, you'll have to forgive the audio because he was on a jet. Jewish producer Chris cleaned up the audio as best he could. Trump was asked about that. Here's what he said.
How close do you personally think that they were to getting one? Because Tulsi Gabbard testified in March that the intelligence community said Iran wasn't building a nuclear weapon.
I don't care what she said. I think they were very close to having.
I don't care what she said. That's what he said. Oh, speaking of momentum, in case you're wondering whether or not we're going to get involved, he also said this. Just, I know you can't hear. The reporter said, what are you looking for here? And Donald Trump responded and said, a real end, not a ceasefire.
Something that would be permanent.
Yeah.
Or giving up entirely.
Is that okay too?
Are you?
What's he looking for? Not a ceasefire, giving up entirely, a real end. Donald Trump intends to go all in. Combine that with this little fact, and I'll give you a little prediction that, I don't know, it may come true before the show's over tonight. Combine that with this fact. Donald Trump was meeting with the G7 leaders. Donald Trump abruptly left that meeting. It's obvious to everyone that he left that meeting to convene with his national security people. Guess who wasn't invited? This reporting came out today. Tulsi Gabbard, the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, was not invited to the meeting where all the military and intelligence people were meeting. So, Chris, go ahead and write this one down, brother. Tulsi Gabbard will not be DNI for very much longer. How that actually will play out, I don't know. It will depend on a couple different things. It will depend on how angry Trump is with her. It'll depend on how angry she is with him. And that includes her ambitions. What are they? Does Tulsi Gabbard view her current post as the last one she ever wants in the government? She obviously believes in this non-intervention stuff pretty strongly. And if you combine that with the fact that she thinks this is her last post in the government. I don't know her. I don't know that's what she thinks. But if that's what she thinks, Tulsi Gabbard very likely may quit in a huff. And then, if she quits in a huff, she very well may be bouncing around the various media stations telling everybody that Donald Trump is a vicious warmonger controlled by the Jews. I mean, you might be getting at both barrels. If she's politically ambitious and she knows she can't really return to the Democrat Party, maybe her combined with Trump, maybe they come to some agreement where she resigns. And of course, she'll resign for the same reason everyone in politics resigns. I just want to spend more time with my family, which is always a lie. These people hate their families. I'm not saying she does, but it's generally a lie. They just all put out the same boilerplate statement to make themselves look like decent people and not the sociopathic nut jobs they really are. I just really want to spend time with my wife. The guy hasn't seen his wife in 3 years. So you never know what it's going to be. So I'm not making a prediction on the details, but Tulsi Gabbard is not long for the Trump administration. That you can write down. I have no intelligence on this, you should know. I have not had a single source leak this to me, but just like we just discussed in the very beginning, you can see momentum, can't you? You have the very dovish DNI heading up intelligence for the president who has made the determination to start dropping bombs on Iran. Donald Trump announced yesterday that Tehran should evacuate. Just digest that for a moment. The American president told the people of the biggest Iranian city that they need to get out now. Donald Trump has already mentally committed himself. He's in. The United States of America is in. We are not spending all that time and money sending carrier groups over there so they can cruise around and watch the Israelis have all the fun. Trust me, he's in. Now, this obviously is going to create a rift inside of not just his cabinet. This is going to create a rift inside of what is known as the MAGA coalition, the coalition that elected Donald Trump. So let's discuss that, because I realize that is stressing a lot of people out, that all of a sudden you have this Trump voter who's all in, yes, kill all the Iranians, and then you have the other Trump voter who says, no, no more foreign intervention, no more regime change, no more foreign wars. So we just talked about Trump's cabinet. Let's talk about us, the coalition who elected Donald Trump. Before we talk about that, let's talk about something as America as it gets, because that's what I love talking about. How about handing out an American-made American flag to a veteran to honor them for Independence Day? Right now, when you switch to Pure Talk, a portion of every single sale goes to Pure Talk's newest thing, and that newest thing is they're tracking down 1,000 veterans, and they're going to honor them by presenting them with an American-made American flag for Independence Day. If you have a veteran you would like to nominate, puretalk.com/nominate. Maybe you are that veteran, but please nominate somebody if you know them. And switch to Pure Talk. Support a company that does things like this instead of Pride Month. Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, what are they not doing for Independence Day? Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. One more is all you're getting on this Iran-Israel stuff, and then we're moving on. I want to talk about other things. It's not going to dominate my show. And like I said a bunch before, I'm not a war correspondent. So here's what I want to address is the domestic Trump coalition. Because the coalition of Donald Trump, the coalition of people who elected Donald Trump, is very, very, very divided on this issue. The country itself, this is, what is this, YouGov. YouGov did a poll. Overall, they asked Americans, should we get involved in the war? Overall, 60-16, no. That's a lot. Republicans, where do Republicans fall? 53-23, no. What about Trump's voters in particular? 53-19. No. Now, here's what we have to understand about coalitions, and it's an obvious point, but we should talk about it. It takes different coalitions that have different passions, and we need those coalitions coming together to elect a president. It takes different coalitions coming together to elect an American president. And they come together because they realize there is at least some amount of overlap. There is an acceptable amount of overlap with their values and the other values from the different coalitions. But here's the rub in all that. I've watched it my whole life, and I'm watching it happen right now. Every single part of, well, every single different coalition that elects an American president, every one of them believe they are the most important coalition. They believe the president would not be there if it was not for them. And therefore, they believe that their particular interests should be served the most because they are, of course, the most important coalition. And Donald Trump wouldn't be there without me, for instance. What kind of people came together to elect Donald Trump? Well, border hawks, me. I'll tell you one of the main reasons I voted for Donald Trump. He's tougher on the border than anyone else. Donald Trump, beep. That was a big thing for me. Maybe you're a tax person. Understandable. Believe taxes should be low. That's a coalition. Maybe that's your main thing. Maybe you're more cultural, more social. Maybe it's abortion for you. You believe in the life of the unborn. You think Donald Trump was more pro-life than Kamala Harris. Boom. Got your vote. Maybe you're a gun guy, a gun girl. Is Donald Trump perfect on guns? Of course not. Way better than Kamala Harris? You bet. Voting for Trump. There are a bunch of different coalitions that came together and agreed that Donald Trump was better for their interests than Kamala Harris, than the Democrat Party was. And now all parts of that coalition believe that their views on Israel, Iran should be the ones that are most listened to because without them, Donald Trump wouldn't ever be elected. But here's the truth. When you come together as a coalition, you are going to be underserved with some of the things you care about, and you understand that when you come together. You're going to get some of the things you like, and you're not going to get all of the things you like. For me, so far, I would rank Donald Trump 2.0 as a solid B-plus president. Easily can move into an A. Easily could move into a C. We have to see where it goes. He secured the border. That's huge for me. He is deporting as many people as the courts, as the current system allows. That's enormous for me. He has tried to clean out some corruption from the government. He has not brought back the FBI whistleblowers. That's a huge negative for me. There are positives. There are negatives. However, I understand that in voting for Donald Trump, I did not vote for Jesse Kelly. I voted for Donald Trump. So I'm going to get some things that I don't necessarily like. And I did that willingly when I chose to become part of the Trump coalition and vote for Donald Trump in the general election. Doesn't mean I won't criticize when I disagree. Doesn't mean I won't praise when he does right. But I understand I am not the whole coalition. Me, my interests, I'm a part of it. You, your interests, you're a part of it. You're not the whole thing. Foreign policy-wise, there is a deep divide. I'll set aside all of America. There is too, but there's a deep divide on the right when it comes to foreign policy. There are many people out there who believe that dropping American bombs on Iran's nuclear sites is the sane thing to do, the right thing to do, that we have to stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. If we don't, they'll drop it on New York City or something like that. There are a lot of people on the right who believe that. And you know what? You can make perfectly reasonable arguments for that. And on the other side, there are people who have watched 20 years of horrific, embarrassing American failure when it comes to foreign policy. They have watched America get involved in Middle East place after Middle East place. They've watched us screw everything up. They've watched us regime change only to create a worse regime afterwards. And they're looking around asking, why is this any different? And you know what? Every one of those people, they have a great, reasonable argument too. I'll give you a little bit of my base and where I come from on this in just a couple minutes. But I will once again implore you, do not divide, do not, especially not publicly, do not fight with your political allies over something as complicated and messy as foreign policy. I am telling you right now, I believe we are going in. I think we're going some version of all in. I know people have these dreams of we're just going to drop a couple bombs and we'll leave it up to the Israelis to figure out what happens from there. Do you really think we're going to drop a couple bombs and topple a regime and not have any say in what comes afterwards? No country in the history of the world would operate that way. And you think Donald Trump's going to say, hey, I'm done. And you know what? That's on you guys. I don't want any control of it. Oh, be serious. I think we are going in. We're going all in. If you hate that, you have a great argument. If you love it, you have a great argument. All I'm asking is don't fight with your political allies because there's a break in the coalition. What, Chris? Chris said, what if we just strike facilities? Buddy, you're pretending like it's checkers when it's chess. I know that's what everyone wants, but everyone wants stuffed crust pizza to be good. It's not good. I'm sorry. Life doesn't work out the way you want. All right? Enough of this talk. Let's do some other stuff. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.